You know, and he said in another place again, 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, he says, don't be deceived. He said, don't be deceived. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he's righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil. He's telling you, if you're going to live a habitual lifestyle, sin, you're not born again. He said, forget about it. He says it over and over and over and over in those chapters. Over and over. And over and over again. He says, he who does what is sinful is of the devil, and the devil's been sinning from the beginning. He said, for this reason the Son of God was made manifest, that it might destroy the works of the devil. He's referring to the new nature, the new born again spirit. He's saying that if you're born again, he said, if you live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. We're back to Galatians chapter 5 again. He says that, live by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of sinful nature. He said the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. He said, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. He said that all the commandments of God are summed up in one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting, devouring each other, watch out, you'll be destroyed by each other. You see? So there's many, many scriptures. Many, many scriptures. He said, you, my brothers, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. That's all coming from Galatians chapter 5. He said in Colossians chapter 3, he said, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Put to death, therefore, what? He said, therefore, since you have been raised to Christ, so you're born again, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He said, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. He said, you died. That old sinful nature's died on the cross. It's gone. It's been destroyed. You died. Your life is now hidden with Christ and God. He said, when Christ, who's your life, appears, you also appear with Him in glory. You're one with Him. Christ does not unite Himself with a prostitute, He said, so why would you do it? He said, he who sins sexually sins against his own body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6:18 says, flee from sexual immorality. Well, I don't know what sexual morality is. If it's outside of marriage, and it's outside of marriage, even touching each other. And I'll get very specific. Oral sex is still sex. And if it's done outside of marriage, forget about it. What about in marriage? You can do whatever you want if it doesn't bother your conscience, but if it does, you need to obey God. He said the marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge adultery and all the sexually immoral. That marriage bed is actually coitus, which means a sexual act between a husband and a wife is pure. You do whatever you want, but don't be, if the other person doesn't want to do it, don't do it. Amen. Why are you talking about this? Because I'm a pastor, and if I don't tell you, you're going to listen to the world. Somebody's got to stand up and tell you the truth. But anything, touching, sexual, oral sex, all that, outside of marriage, forget about it. It is sexual immorality. It'll send you straight to the pit of hell. I don't like this hell talk. Well, you sure don't like Jesus' parables, because He talked about hell all the time. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. The only place it talks about in Scripture where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth is hell. He said, if your hand causes sin, cut it off. He said, it's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. He said, if your foot causes sin, cut it off. He said, it's better for you to enter life crippled than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. He said, if your eye causes sin, pluck it out. He said, it's better for you to enter the kingdom of heaven with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm never dies. He said, everybody's going to be salted with fire. Now, that's Mark 9:43. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? He said, and that's Luke 6:46, Matthew 7:21. He says, not everyone who says me Lord, Lord, not everyone who reads their Bible, not everyone who goes to church and calls himself a Christian. He said, not everyone who says me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father is in heaven. What is that? Obedience. It all comes down to one word, obedience. He said, for this is the love of God. I love God, I love God. Are you obedient to Him? No. Well, then you don't love Him, because according to God's own word, He said, for this is the love of God, to keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. That's the love of God. He said, that's 1 John 5:3. And He said in 2 John 6, He said, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you've heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. Obedience, obedience, obedience. Adam was disobedient. Jesus was fully obedient. Now that you're born again, he said you spent enough time living in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in lusts and all detestable idolatry and debauchery and all this mess. He said they think it's strange. You do not plunge at them in the same flood of dissipation. They heap abuse on you, but they'll have to give account to him who's ready to judge both the living and the dead. He said, do not think it's strange that the fiery trial you were going through. He said, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. You know, all these polluting the body, these things you do to your body. He said that you destroy the temple of God, God will destroy you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price, therefore honor God with your body. Can you take that drink of alcohol and say, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. You take out your crack pipe and smoke and say, I love Jesus. Cigarettes, in the name of Jesus. He said, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I glorify you by smoking this cigarette. No. If it doesn't glorify Jesus and you couldn't quote that scripture over yourself while you're doing, then you shouldn't be doing it. He said, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Amen. We need to obey God fully. So many people are deceived. I'm telling you, God showed me some things. I tried to warn you with the scriptures. He said if someone rises from the dead, he said if they won't repent because of the word of God, it's not even going to make a difference if someone does rise from the dead. I keep telling you the scriptures. God showed me some things about the judgment, and I'm telling you there were masses of people who were fully convinced that they were okay going into hell. Masses of people. Take warning. Please save yourself from this corrupt, wicked generation. That's Peter's own words. That's what he said to the people. This is true New Testament teaching. Repent from all sin. Give your whole heart to the Lord and praise Him. He's good. He has good plans for you. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. But He cannot prosper you and He cannot keep you from harm if you open up the door through sin. Can't. Why? Because you do it to yourself. That's why He sent His word to heal you and deliver you from your destructions. He said, do not be deceived again. Do not be deceived. A man reaps what he sows. He says it over and over. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Why? Because He's wrote that to the church. Why would He have said that if He didn't have a capacity to be deceived to thinking it's okay? He said, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. He said, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we reap a harvest, we do not give up. He said, therefore, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. You should be spending so much time doing good deeds, you don't have time to sit in the bar. You should spend so much time doing good deeds, you don't even have time to light up a cigarette. You should do so many good deeds, you don't have time to get on that website and look at that smut. Forget about it. Smash your computer if that's going to take. Jesus said to cut off your own hand. That's literal. Why? Because you'd be better off cutting off your own hand than going into hell, would you not? Amen. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. I'm just repeating the words. He said, unless you repent, you all likewise perish. Again, without holy, he says it's a fearful, he said it's a dreadful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Peter said this, he said if it's hard for the righteous to be saved. Notice the wording there. He said if it's hard for the righteous, you break it down in the Greek, that's what it says. If it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will happen to the ungodly and the sinful? There is a judgment coming. You need to recognize that. If you're living right and you're doing your best, you have nothing to fear. But some people deceive themselves and their conscience has become so seared because they spend more time in the world than they do with God that they don't even recognize anymore. They're the blind man walking around. Satan's got your mind blinded. 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4. We need to live holy lives. If I just made you get real quiet every single week and got you into heaven, I did my job. Amen? Amen. But I want a whole lot more than that for you. I want you to not only to be living a holy life, but I want you to be so successful in your marriages, in your relationships, in your jobs, in your businesses, in your ministry, that everyone looks at you and goes, man, what is it about you? You can tell them one simple word, I obey God. Obedience. I want everybody, this is your assignment. Go home and read Deuteronomy 28. The same principles apply now as it did in the Old Testament. Nothing has changed. Read Deuteronomy 28. He tells you all the blessings that you'll get for full, notice the wording he says, full obedience. And he tells you all the curses that are going to come on you for disobedience. God will protect his children as much as he can. But if you keep dabbling around in sin, you're going to eventually, the devil's going to get in there. Amen? Amen? Can't say amen, say oh my, amen. Well, we got through one chapter today. We're going to get into the good stuff. We're going to talk about heaven. Should the Lord allow us to on Tuesday and Wednesday. There's two times in a row we really didn't get to teach much. We got caught in an exhortation last time. He said this. He said he's got great and mighty things prepared for you. Things you've never experienced. Things your mind cannot conceive. Things you don't even understand with your natural mind. For I have great pleasures and great glory and waves of anointings that will wash over you in my kingdom. So walk with me and obey. I am a good and merciful and mighty God. I am a God that is full of love. I'm a God that is full of mercy. I have provided the salvation for you. But it's up to you. Choose today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be fully obedient. For I long to bless my children and answer all their prayers. My eyes are on the righteous. My ear is attentive to your prayers. But my face is against those who do evil. Whoso walk uprightly shall be saved. But he that is perverse in his way shall fall at once. So continue to seek me. Put me first in all things. Allow me into the fullness of your heart. I stand at the door and knock. He who opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. For I have prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I will make your cup overflow. I'll lead you as your shepherd in the green pastures. I'll lead you beside the still waters where every need is met and every want and desire is provided. For as you delight yourself in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. But it takes obedience, for it is the little foxes that spoil the vines. So walk with me and be fully obedient. Walk in the light of my word. It will illuminate you and convict you and bring it to pass, says the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? This came to me earlier. I want to encourage young people, keep yourselves pure. Keep yourselves pure. You know, he made mention of that purity in the book of Revelation. He said, these are they that did not defile themselves with women. They kept themselves pure. And that's sexual purity is of great worth. Sexual sin opens up the door to all sorts of emotional problems and bondages, to barrenness, to other problems along that lines. I don't know how many times I've talked to people or heard of people that are barren because they were disobedient to God and they did not wait until they're married to do those types of things. And, you know, God can heal these things, but nonetheless, that part of the curse entered into their physical body. Be obedient to God. I believe, as the Lord allows, if we can get done with this book of Revelation and possibly a couple chapters out of Daniel, we'll be talking about the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. So if we don't have the fear of the Lord, we don't even have the beginning of wisdom yet. Amen. Why? Because the fear of the Lord connects us. You know, Jesus said, don't fear those that can kill the body. He said, I'll tell you who you should fear. He said, fear him who after the killing of the body has the power to throw both soul and body in hell. He said, yes, I tell you, fear him. He said it two times. Jesus talked about the fear of the Lord. Should you be walking around calling God? Not if you're obedient, but you should fear Him enough that it keeps you from sinning. That's what the fear of the Lord will help you with. God is a wonderful Father. If you're living in obedience, I mean, He just lavishes His love all over you in all sorts of ways. And He wants to lavish His love on those who are disobedient. He's provided it for them. But if they continue to rebel and follow the deception of the enemy and follow him, the enemy seeking someone whom he may devour, they made themselves the devil's lunch at this point. So don't be the devil's roast beef dinner, amen? Let's obey God.